Blog Talk Radio.
Hello to all of Jacksonville and Jag Nation all across the world. I am your host, Jeremy York. Finally, getting to come back and talk some Jaguars. It has been a long time, and I apologize for being gone so long. I am so happy to be with you here today. I'm going to recap all the games up to this point, give you a few pointers here and there, update you on the injuries, where I think this team is headed, and ultimately set you up for this week's game. But, towards the end, if you guys want to call in or listen in, you can call us at 347-826-7448. You want to talk some Jaguars. And towards the end of today, we'll be on for about a half hour or so today, I believe. I'm going to pose the question to you guys. Do you think Blake Bortles is ready to take the reins? Now, we all know he came in at the end of he played the second half of the game the other day, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. First, like I said, I do want to get to some of these games since I haven't been able to chime in and set you guys up for this. First they kicked off against your Jaguars kicked off against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles scored 34 to Jacksonville 17. I was impressed with the first couple drives. For the most part, I felt the team was doing pretty well. And just kind of fell flat. I think because of some of the newer bodies, they're still getting used to trying to play next to each other. It's really tough. I mean, think about when you get a new coworker, at your workplace. You're trying to get used to their tendencies. They're trying to get used to your tendencies. It's just kind of, sometimes you run into it. You're just not quite sure how to react or how somebody's going to take something or how well they work on a certain thing. For the most part, though, I like it. I like what I'm seeing out of the team. There's a few issues I will bring up because there are common themes, especially just looking at a stat sheet, let alone if you watch the games. And, of course, we all watch these games, whether you're there in person or, especially tailgating with our buddies at the Teal Street Hooligans or the Bold City Brigade, all the chapters all over the place. I know I've hung out with the Jacksonville chapter a lot. I've hung out with the Atlanta chapter quite a bit. It's always a good time to hang out with any of those guys. If you've been able to go to some of the places, the Shim Sham Room, just all the different places that you can go watch the game. If you're not watching these games, then you're really missing out. There's some really cool things going that aren't always reflected on a stat sheet. But going back to this Eagles game, Chad Henne was 24 for 43. To me, I want my quarterback throwing between 30 and 35 times a game. Sometimes if you're behind, you're going to throw a little bit more or certain offenses. I think for the Jaguars to be successful, 35 to 37 is the most I want. That's tops to me. Now, that doesn't mean stop when you get to that level, but I really want to limit the throws, and I really want to get the ground game going. That being said, this particular game, Toby Gerhardt had 42 yards. He had an 11-yard burst. That was exciting. I really want Toby to kind of get going. And as we get into these other couple games here, I'll kind of show you the pattern I'm seeing. Let me finish the Chad Henne thing. 24 for 43. He had 266 yards, two touchdowns. And to me, the best stat he could have put up, no interceptions. I'm very happy that he didn't throw any in that one because the Eagles' defense is a swarm-style defense, kind of like Seattle, but they're a little more chaotic at times. It's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. It's actually a good scheme. Gus is setting them up the right way. Of course, that being head coach Gus Bradley, but if you're a Jaguar fan, you know this. Nick Foles, he threw an interception in this game, and his numbers were very similar, 27 for 45, 322, two touchdowns and an interception. The big difference is the Sproles and McCoy had 74 and 71 yards, respectively. And Toby Gerhart, like I said, was only 42 yards. Denard Robinson had 8. Chad Henne had 8. Todman was 6. We have to figure out a way to get this going because, I mean, yeah, Allen Hurns had the great catches in the first half that was ultimately the two biggest scores. Had 110 yards. Marquise Lee threw in 62. 36 from Mike Brown. Mercedes Lewis with 35. You know, we'll be missing him a few more games because of the injury. I think we're going to be okay, though, and we hope Mercedes the best in his recovery and look forward to getting him back out there. He's just a super guy and great in the community, and he's a big part of this team. You know, just spreading the ball around is very key. That's something we need to look at doing. Like I said, I'm impressed that Chad Henne didn't throw any interceptions. Not that I thought he would throw any, but I'm glad that he didn't. To me, it showed that he was somewhat in command of it. Once the Eagles kind of get used to your offense, if you don't make adjustments, they will overtake you, and I think ultimately that's what happened because, you know, 14 in the first for the Jaguars, 3 in the second, and then put up 2 goose eggs for the second half, and ultimately that's when the Eagles scored all their points. Nick Foles is one of those sneaky good quarterbacks, so, you know, it is what it is on that one. So, you know, at that point, you're 0-1. As we go into the second game, they were against, of course, the Washington Redskins. The thing to keep in mind here is that Robert Griffin III left this game and probably won't be back in for a while. I would venture to say maybe the rest of this season even, because Kirk Cousins seems to really fit the Washington scheme. He helped hang 2 touchdowns in the air and 41 overall points against the Jaguars. Once again, the Jaguars got the 10 points, with most of it being the second quarter. And at least, you know, Scobie is one of those guys who's not going to miss. And he's never afraid to kick from any distance. And I have all the confidence in the world that he can hit all these. I mean, how many subs has he won everybody this year? If you don't know about that promotion, you can check out Jaguars.com, and they'll tell you all about that. But in this game, Chad Henne, 14 for 28. You know, this is more back in the range I was talking about. Even in a such a lopsided score game, you know, he's still throwing 28, 30 passes. I'm okay right there. Hopefully, in doing that, you balance out on running. He had 193, a touchdown, an interception apiece. Okay. I saw the interception. It wasn't the best pass. It wasn't awful, but I felt like he forced it a little bit there. But it's okay. I mean, now that we've seen a couple weeks of the Redskins, we can look back on this game and go, you know what? These guys actually have a pretty decent, you know, defense. We can't really count the Eagles game they just played, but the thing that bothers me the most about this game is that Chad Henne, 3 attempts at rushing for 17 yards with a 12-yarder being his longest. You don't need somebody like Chad Henne being your leading rusher. And Gerhart is getting dinged up a little bit and everything. And I think giving Todman and Denard Robinson a few more opportunities could help. But, you know, I'll get to this in a minute. One of my suggestions for this team is to go add a little bit more depth, possibly go get a runner, and I think they can really make a good run of it, for lack of a better term. But Henne had 17, Gerhart with 8. You know, they're spreading the ball out. I like that Allen Robinson had 75 yards. Mercedes Lewis had 71. Once again, he's going to be missed, but they're spreading the ball out. Denard Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, Gerhart, they all had a couple catches apiece. Didn't get a whole lot of yardage out of it and stuff, but spreading the ball out is going to make the defense have to cover everybody. That's the key there. You know, Alfred Morris and Silas Redd is just going, they're going to run all over everybody. So you can't really, you know, you can't really go, gosh, I can't believe Alfred Morris ran for 85 yards and 2 touchdowns on us. Well, he's Alfred Morris. That's you know, it's like saying, I can't believe Barry Sanders just ran 85 yards down the field. It's just going to happen. And like I said, you know, this year's Nick Foles is Kirk Cousins. He's going to take over. He's going to lead their team to big things. So, you know, don't hang your head on this game as well. But, you know, to this point, 0-2. That's fine. You know, at this point, we want the Jaguars to win as many games as they can, and we'd love to see them in the playoffs and that sort of thing, and to really give the Colts a run, especially as we get to the Colts game I'm about to talk about. We want to really give them a run as far as as far as for the division and everything like that. But at the same time, we got to also protect ourselves for the future and see what we're building towards. And I'm not saying let's go ahead and give up and get a great draft pick. And I'm not saying, gosh, we're going to be so bad, we should just trade everybody away. No, no, at all. No, they're going to stay competitive. They're going to keep staying in everybody's face about this. I mean, you know, the Colts are the Colts. Can't do much about that. In fact, the funny little thing about this is that the punter, Pat McAfee for the Colts, tweeted out today that him, the kicker, I believe maybe Trent Richardson, Andrew Luck, and somebody else, you know, let's say Hakeem Nicks or something. It was one of their receivers or something. After their big performance over the weekend against the Jaguars, we're all randomly drug tested after all this, which I think is kind of interesting. You know, the league has the right to randomly, and that's air quotes, test whoever they want, and I'm glad they're testing people. You know, HGH is going to be coming up soon, and we're going to see the first few people get popped with that. I personally don't think any of those guys are on anything like that, but, you know, it is what it is. I thought that was a funny little tidbit. But getting into this Colts game, it didn't look good in the first half. The kind of stats, you know, Chad Henne, 4-for-7 for 33 yards. I don't know if Chad Henne has ever had a day like that. And that goes back into the Michigan days. I followed him back then because I've always followed the Wolverines, especially doing some college stuff and all like that. But, I mean, when you look at, I mean, you look at, that's that line. It's just insane. I don't know how you go 4-for-7 for just 33 yards in an entire half. I would understand if he had an injury or something were to happen, but last I heard, he was fine. I said, I don't know if he was just having a bad day or couldn't get anything going. I mean, the Colts do have a quite good defense. They are rebuilding it, but I mean, at least, you know, Denard and Gerhardt and even Bortles with the big run and everything all had about 30 yards apiece rushing. Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns had pretty good receiving days. Well, Hurns just had the big 63-yarder, but, you know, getting shorts involved, that's always key. And Gerhardt and, you know, all the guys, it's good to spread the ball out and stuff like that, but the ball, the turning point to me, and I'm going to pose this to you guys here in a few minutes anyway, if you guys do want to call in to 347-826-7448, love to hear from you on it. I was watching this game, and really right before halftime, we were all kind of kicking around the idea. I was like, with this being 30-0 at halftime, are they going to go ahead and kind of sit Chad Henne and bring out Blake Bortles? I was like, it could be the best opportunity to do so. Just hope that, you know, the Colts defense doesn't get to him, because the offensive line, I'm not going to throw you guys under the bus, but the offensive line wasn't exactly helping Chad Henne out a whole lot. Don't know how many times he was sacked or anything like that. I don't have the stat in front of me. But the thing that, like I said, what was the turning point to me is that when they put Bortles in, the team seemed to come alive, at least on offense. And the defense was still giving up some points. But, I mean, they didn't give up anything in the third quarter. And that's after giving up 10 in the first, 20 in the second. Ended up giving 2 touchdowns in the fourth. But I mean, he comes in, leads a drive right off the bat. They get the Scobie 3-pointer. I was pretty happy with that. I was like, hey, he just moved the ball. He moved it down there. The drive was pretty good. Wasn't flawless, but hey, this is his first real, you know, get your feet wet drive. Very excited about that. And then the two touchdown plays in the fourth, because at the time even, my dad, who was watching the game with me, said, you know, if they would at least, you know, if they would at least score at least once or so, it'd make it look better. And I agreed, and I said, I think they're good for at least two scores here, the way they're moving the ball. Bam, there's those two scores. I'm not saying I predicted that or anything. I think it was more wishful thinking. The offensive line started to kind of gel a little bit, started to play a little better. So that's why I said I'm not going to dump on Chad Henne, because the offensive line didn't play very well in the first half. They played a little better in the second half, gave Bortles a bigger shot. But, you know, Bortles looked pretty decent. He threw some decent passes. He didn't look like a deer in headlights, as I've seen many, many rookies do and many guys giving their first shot. I very much like what he did. I mean, you know, don't hang your head on getting beat by a Colts team 44-17. That was the Colts' first win. They've kind of had a rough schedule. From here on out, they have the statistical easiest schedule left, though, so, you know, you have to deal with that. Jaguars have a pretty good one as well. You know, you got the game coming up with San Diego, which we'll get into. But like I said, if you do want to call in and join us, if you are listening in right now on Blog Talk Radio, myself and Impact Media definitely appreciate it, and we'd love to hear from you. You can hit us up at 3endzone or at the Impact 99 for my personal one on Twitter. Tell me what you thought of the Jaguars game, or you can call us in now at 347-826-7448. Again, that's 347-826-7448. If you follow along with the links on Facebook and Twitter, you can just click those links, or the numbers on there as well. Love to hear from you. You know, is it time to turn it over to Bortles, or is there not really a choice where it pretty much has to be him right now because of his overall performance? I mean, it's really up to you guys. What do you guys think? Because Gus and Caldwell and all these guys are listening to you guys. They want to know. What do you guys think? Is it time for him to be in? Should there be other moves made? You know, like I said, where do I see this team going? You know, I still see this team possibly at 8-8. I understand you went 0-3, but you know how going 8-5 is not all that. I mean, it could really happen. Realistically, seriously, I got the Jaguars between 6 to 8 wins, possibly more. It depends on if they can get on a roll, because they're going to play some teams coming up that may not see them coming. I understand. Right now, you know, you got the Chargers coming up. And the Chargers, who just beat Seattle a couple weeks ago, you know, Phillip Rivers is a good quarterback. He's finally got a pretty good team he can build around. And, you know, he's going to sling the ball around. Do I think our defense can do something about this? Absolutely. I think with Phillip Rivers, the best formation to do, and I don't know what Gus's plan is, but I'm going to run a 3-4, and by a 3-4, I mean I want one defensive tackle in the middle, I want two defensive ends on the front line like that. So you're going to run three there. I want four linebackers. What I'm going to do is I'm going to drop at least two or three linebackers into coverage, along with the two corners and the two safeties, and I'm going to double, triple, whatever I got to do to his receivers. I'm going to make them start beating me either on the ground, or I'm going to force him to have to stay in the pocket long enough for one or two of my other linebackers, whoever's not dropping in coverage, to come flying through for these sacks. I feel like that's the way to beat the Chargers. Make them try to beat you on the ground. They're a little dinged up in that area. Make them beat you on the ground. Force him to throw into double coverage. He's not good at doing that. And, you know, from the things I hear, Phillip Rivers likes to yell at his line and everybody else anyway, whether he's frustrated or not. So, you know, at some point, if you can get him screaming, yelling at the rest of his teammates, then they may start giving up on him as well. And a lot of people are like, you know, every week you say, realistically, the Jaguars have a chance to win. Well, of course they do. If the best team won every week, there'd be no reason to tune in. We could all just sit back and go, oh, you know what? Well, statistically, the Red Sox are better than the Cardinals, so they're going to beat them. Statistically, the, you know, the Seahawks are better than the Chargers, as it was a week or so ago. And guess what? Chargers come up and won that one. Do I think Jacksonville can beat the Chargers? Absolutely. Will it happen? I don't know. It depends on the play. That's part of why I'm going to tune in. I'm going to make sure I'll probably watch this game 3, 4, 5 times just for the sake of doing it. Just, you know, just to look at different things and just to see the overall performance. See how these guys are going to do. I don't know how, you know, how do you guys feel about it? You know, got about 5 or 6 minutes left in the show. Call in and let me know. 347-826-7448. You know, quick answers even. How do you see the Jaguars doing this weekend? I for one, like I said, I feel like the opportunity's there. It's where they can step up, and I know everybody's behind them. I know Jackson DeVille's going to be out there with the Jag girls and the roar of the Jaguars and everything, and they're going to be cheering their hearts out, and Jackson's awesome anyway. You know, we look forward to having him on here in a couple weeks, hopefully. Had him on earlier this summer. Always great to talk to that guy. I mean, I don't know. To me, the best thing that we can do as fans is to not only watch, and I'm not gonna try to plug buy the merchandise. You know, buy the merchandise if you want to. It's great merchandise. It does help out the team. But the best thing we can do is either, if you can't show up live, watch the game, support, give them the feedback, send them messages. You know, really fire up the team. If you get a chance to go, you know, like I said, go see the Bull City Brigade and the Chill Street Hooligans. They're always right there next to the stadium every Sunday home game. They do a lot of other stuff. There's other fan groups as well. Go stand in droves and show this team the support they deserve. And go to these games and tell everybody, hey, I'm a Jaguar fan. We're not going anywhere. We're going nowhere but to the top, you know. We're building this thing right from the ground up the way teams wish they could do. You don't always get this chance to do these kinds of things. So, I mean, you got to think about, in the division right now, Houston, 2-1, they're leading the division. Okay, that means they're 2 games ahead. Indianapolis and Tennessee are 1-2. Okay, so you're 1 game behind them. So you're 2 out of first, 1 out of second. I don't necessarily see that being a weak team or, you know, oh, they're already out of it. There's handfuls of other teams that are with, you know, there's a couple other teams with 0-3. There's a bunch at 1-2, especially even in the AFC. Everything's been flipped upside down this year so far. You know, you think one team's going to win, the other one comes back and defeats them, or maybe it's a big margin or a crazy injury happens. You know, knock on wood, I don't know if you guys can hear that, but knock on wood, besides Mercedes Lewis, there really hasn't been a big-time injury. I think we can get past the Lewis thing, so that when he comes back, he's just going to be another piece in this. I mean, there's no need to panic. There's no need to do any of these things. Who cares about next year's draft at this point? We'll address that when we address that. The only issue, like I said, the only issue that the things I would like them to improve on, and if that means going to get somebody, then let's go get somebody. If that means, you know, let's use a different personnel package, then let's do that. Whatever it takes, I think the pass rush has been doing a good job. I feel like if we drop an extra guy back in coverage, that would help. And I feel like we got to get that running game going. I want Toby Gerhardt to average 85 to 100 yards. You know, I want Todman and Robinson and Denard Robinson to have, you know, at least, you know, give me 30 or 50 yards apiece. You know, let's get this going. I want 150 to 200 yards from the running backs. They seem to be spreading the ball around just fine. As far as the wide receivers, I mean, pretty much without kicking a dead horse, it's just that's what needs to happen right now. The defense is making some good plays. There's been a handful of sacks. As far as leading the league in sacks, you know, above middle of the pack, there's teams like the Falcons who just got their first 2 this week, and they were against an awful Tampa Bay team. I mean, the way this division is, it's still wide open. it's just like the NFC South. It's four teams that are going to just scratch and scrounge and scrape and just do everything they can to try to win this thing. I mean, like I said, the Colts were supposed to be the front runner. Well, they're 1-2. Houston was supposed to be 0-3 at this point. Guess what? They're 2-1. Tennessee 1-2. So 0-3 is not all that bad. I think you got a shot at San Diego. The way Pittsburgh's up and down the next week, I think you got a shot there. Tennessee, same thing there. Cleveland, Brian Hoyer can be beat. Johnny Manziel can be beat. All these guys can be beat. But that's just the next few games coming up. You know, like I said, the best thing you can do is to support these teams, support this team, go to the games, have a good time. You know, let Shad Khan know this is where we need, you know, this is our direction. This is what we need to do. I mean, he's always out there. Enjoy the pools. Have a good time and show everybody what being a part of Jag Nation really is. You know, like I said, you can find all of, you can catch up with me at the Impact 99 on Twitter, also at 3 End Zone. Drop me your comment, your questions, your suggestions, whatever, on the Facebook page as well for End Zone. Would love to hear from you guys. Or if you guys would like to be a part of the show sometime, just hit us up there, and we'd love to hear from you. But that's actually going to do it for me this week. I want to thank Impact Media for allowing me to do this show. And I promise I won't stay gone this long. I will see you guys next week. And go Jaguars.